Well, we continue looking at the life of Paul, and I want you to take a look at Acts 9, beginning at verse 19 and going through 22 just for a few minutes here. He's had all these things happen to him on the Damascus Road, and it says, in taking food, he was strengthened. For some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So let's look at this. He moves from being a persecutor to being a preacher. So after Jesus appears to Paul, he experienced blindness for 3 days. Now, it might be that this period of darkness symbolizes the 3 days that the Savior spent in the tomb. And it could be that when his eyes were miraculously opened, it was like Christ's resurrection. Well, whatever the Lord had in mind, no one can deny that this 3 days without sight would set a stage for this transformation, a new life thing for all time. Though he's instantly converted, he's born again the moment he acknowledged Jesus as Lord, Paul then begins to experience extraordinary changes in his attitudes, his thoughts, his actions, and his born-again experience was indeed life-changing. Not only in terms of his eternal destiny, but in terms of his present behavior. And during those few days he stays in Damascus, he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And those who knew why he had come to Damascus in the first place, they were floored. They're astonished. They can't believe their ears. And again, these people who heard Paul's message asked the same question. Isn't this the guy who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on the name that is the name of Christ? And hasn't he come here to take as prisoners to the chief priests, these people he wants to take them as prisoners? But his new message is what made his transformation so startling. Remember, before he converted, he rejected the whole thing of Christianity, that God became a man. But once he understood who Jesus really was, he not only personalized that truth in his life, but he began to preach a message that was diametrically opposed to what he had previously believed. And what made this transformation even more something that would startle is that before he became a Christian, he not only rejected the message of Christ, but imprisoned and murdered many of his fellow Jews who had received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we see that this change happens where he's doing these things, and this is what results. We'll look at this in Galatians 1, 11 through 17. He says, For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And so we see this in Galatians. Now, Luke recorded Paul's story. He succinctly condensed what happened. In fact, there seems to be this lengthy period of time between Acts 9:21 and 9:22. It says, after Paul at once began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God, amazing all those who heard it, provoking the questions that he noted. Luke went on to record that Paul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Now, a quick glance at Luke's account makes it appear that this transition from preaching that Jesus was the Son of God to proving he was Christ happened immediately. In reality, there seems to be at least a 2 or 3 year time gap between these two events. And the days following his conversion, Paul was clearly not yet ready for this kind of ministry. He was a new believer. He's an infant Christian. He's spiritually and emotionally young. And consequently, after the several days of preaching mentioned by Luke, he left Damascus and spent time in Arabia learning and unlearning many things. So Paul himself helps us understand this time gap. A number of years after his initial experience, he wrote that letter that I just read to the Galatian Christians and believers he and Barnabas had led to Christ on their first missionary journey. So we see that he's stressing that God allowed him to have that time. And so he immediately goes into Arabia. That correlates with Luke's reference of those several days he spent with the disciples in Damascus. So he then left the city unhindered. His personal account in no way detracts from Luke's credibility as a historian, because the Holy Spirit inspired him to record it that way. The Lord simply led him to do what many of us do in relating historical items. In order to make a long story short, we say, we eliminate certain details, but at the same time tell exactly what happened. So you have to understand that that's how we write things. We put them in a condensed form when we want it to be the case. So Luke intentionally left out some of the events in Paul's personal journey in order to condense the historical account. But Paul later helps us out by writing in the letters what happened. So this is what happens. And I want to encourage you as young people, as you're thinking, you want to be so ahead with your anything. We just feel that way. We want immediately to be the best ball player that we can be, the best pianist we can be, the best whatever. And we think that God works microwave. He does change our lives in a microwave type way, but sometimes there are steps that are taken that are more crock pot. And so I want to encourage you to keep going and understand that God is still working on you.